The House has approved a one-year extension of a law governing mental health parity. Mary Agnes, can you tell us about that?
By a vote of 384 to 23, the legislation extended by a year a 1996 law that bans health plans that offer mental health coverage from establishing different lifetime or annual dollar limits for mental health services than those that are imposed for other illnesses. Originally authorized for 5 years, the measure has been extended on several occasions, with its most recent extension expiring December the 31st. The measure also includes a provision to allow the withholding of Medicare payments for doctors and hospitals that owe back taxes.
How does the bill relate to the larger mental health parity legislation now pending before the chamber?
The broader bill, sponsored by Representative Patrick Kennedy, a Democrat of Rhode Island, would require plans offering mental health benefits to make them equal in cost and scope to medical and surgical benefits offered in the policy, and the bill would require that specific mental health conditions be covered. The legislation is broader in scope than a Senate-passed mental health parity bill.
What's the next step on the broader mental health parity bill now pending in the House?
During House debate on the narrower mental health parity measure, Representative Kennedy made it clear that he will continue his push for passage of the larger bill. Taking action now is critical, he said, because comprehensive parity would help 54 million Americans with mental illness and 26 million Americans with chemical addiction. He also said that his measure would reduce the billions in lost productivity due to alcohol and drug-related illnesses. Although five House committees have approved the measure, it has not been scheduled for floor action.
President Bush has issued a veto threat concerning fiscal 2009 spending measures. Mary Agnes, could you give us the details?
The president has promised to veto any spending bills Congress sends to his desk that exceed the amounts included in his fiscal 2009 budget plan. In his budget, which was released February the 4th, the majority of spending increases are targeted for national security defense, with less than 1% of the increased spending slotted for domestic programs and agencies.
What's been the reaction from Democrats?
They've criticized the Bush budget for its small increase on non-security domestic spending, and some Democrats have suggested that they might hold off on completing the annual spending work until after the November elections, when they hope a Democrat will be elected president. Under that strategy, the government could be funded under a continuing resolution until a new president takes office next January.
What would the president's budget do for the health care programs?
Under the plan, about $200 billion would be cut from Medicare and Medicaid over the next 5 years, a figure that was soundly condemned by Democratic lawmakers and healthcare interest groups who said that the cuts would be devastating to the uninsured, the elderly, and others who are most in need of health services. In testimony before the Senate Finance Committee, Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Levitt said that the level of provider cuts represented tough choices ahead, no matter which political party is in charge, to keep federal health care programs financially secure now and for future generations.
On a separate but related point, did a temporary increase in federal Medicaid payments end up being included in the stimulus package that the House and Senate approved?
It did not, but a bipartisan group of House lawmakers, which includes House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman John Dingell, a Democrat of Michigan, and Representative Peter King, a Republican of New York, have proposed legislation that would give states a temporary FMAP increase of 2.95% for 5 quarters beginning April the 1st.
The Senate Finance Committee has held a second hearing on the Medicare Advantage program, with the most recent session focusing on marketing practices. Mary Agnes, can you fill us in?
Witnesses told the panel that despite steps taken last year by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the insurance industry to clean up questionable marketing tactics among some plans, that problems remain.
What kinds of problems?
A witness for the National Association of Insurance Commissioners said some marketing and sales practices pressure beneficiaries to enroll into plans that are inappropriate or unsuitable for them. And sometimes beneficiaries don't understand that enrolling in Medicare Advantage plans means that they no longer have access to traditional Medicare and Medigap plans. Seniors have also been misled, witnesses said, about whether their doctor is in a plans network or what the beneficiary's out-of-pocket costs will be. The witness also said that some of the same problems exist with private prescription drug plans that offer coverage in Part D of the Medicare program.
What other business practices were discussed at the hearing?
Witnesses also mentioned aggressive tactics such as repeated phone calls in an attempt to obtain beneficiaries' business, and seniors discovering after a salesperson has come to their home that they were enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan even though they didn't sign up for one. High sales commissions were another concern since they provide a powerful incentive to steer a beneficiary into a particular plan, even if it's not the best one for the beneficiary's needs.
What's next?
Acting Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator Carrie Weems is scheduled to testify at a February 13th Senate Finance hearing on the sales and marketing of Medicare Advantage plans. And while there's legislation pending now in Congress that would give the National Association of Insurance Commissioners the ability to develop national, state-enforced standards regarding Medicare Advantage and to regulate the plans, CMS is likely to oppose that bill, citing ongoing enforcement efforts against bad plans and agents.
Thank you for your time, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.